Exactly. And a lot of those things, you know, that the evaluation process of their character goes all the way up until the draft starts, really. And honestly, if there's been one thing, there's been multiple things, but one thing that really stands out about me with our group of scouts here is the detail and the thoroughness they've done with their character. So these guys have gone far back.
Martellus Bennett today reportedly being shopped in trade talks by the Bears. In front of an attendance announced as zero, the White Sox fall today in Baltimore 8-2. Jeff Samardzija, poor showing. 8 runs, 7 of them earned, 5 innings pitched. Sox now 8-10 on the year. They're back in action tomorrow night in Minnesota. Major League Baseball announced today there were no findings of tampering in the Cubs' hiring of Joe Maddon. Cubs are going for a sweep of Pittsburgh tonight at Wrigley. 7:05 first pitch, Kyle Hendricks and Garrett Cole in the pitching matchup. Bulls are off tonight. They'll try to close out the Bucks tomorrow evening in Milwaukee. Game 6 there. Game 5 between Atlanta and Brooklyn tonight with the series tied at 2. Memphis looks to close out Portland later this evening as well. And the Dallas Mavericks today voted to not give a playoff share to Rajon Rondo. Blackhawks off until Friday. They start their Western Conference semifinal series against Minnesota then. Just one Stanley Cup playoff game tonight. It's Game 7 in the East between Tampa and Detroit. Winner against Montreal. Join the Score and Chris Ronji next Thursday at U.S. Cellular Field at the new Xfinity Zone by Section 112 for the White Sox pregame show. I'm Nick Szczepkowski, and you're listening to the radio home for White Sox baseball. The next game on the Score is tomorrow at 6:30 when the Sox take on the Twins on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour is brought to you by St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
Scores at Bernstein.
Idiot and Bernstein over there on the Score.
Hands on the Score.
You got the Boers and Bernstein show on WSCR, The Score. Our draft coverage on The Score is being brought to you by the Hub Arkish team at ChicagoFootball.com. Hub sitting in for Terry Boers today, and we are joined now at the NFL Network Draft Welcome Luncheon by an analyst for NFL Network. He is, what, 7-time Pro Bowler? Is that right? 5-7, you lose count?
Hall of Famer, just go there.
I don't remember.
He doesn't remember. Marshall Faulk is with us on the Score. How are you today, Marshall?
I'm good. I can't remember those numbers. I have other numbers of other running backs stuck in my head right now. We have a very busy weekend getting ready for the draft. Very exciting buzz around the city. Looking forward to it.
You know, Marshall, that's a great place to start because after 2 years of no running backs in the first round, which couldn't have made you too happy, considered one of the deeper positions in this draft, both possibly in the first round and down into the middle rounds.
You know, it doesn't matter right now in this league what your stock is or how good you are or how deep the draft is. The league has dictated what the value of the running back is. You can't touch the quarterback. Right now I think my 16-year-old son can play in the league and catch passes across the middle. It's just, you know.
Not a lot of safeties out there is what you're saying. Huh?
You are crazy to take a running back with the top 5 choice. Mm-hmm. It's just not something that you should do in today's league because the game is so that your quarterback, if he's not dropping back throwing the ball 40 to 50 times a game, you're at a disadvantage. So that eliminates the running back.
You bothered by that? You sound bothered. You sound a little bitter about it.
Can you tell?
Yeah.
Of course. I mean, you know, back in the day when the quarterback was a part of tackle football and the chance of if you throw the ball 50 times, your quarterback might get hurt. You ran the football, so you didn't lose him. Well, they've taken that out. So in taking that out, guess what? You don't have to run the football.
See, here's what is somewhat counterintuitive, is that we've talked a lot in the last few years about the way college football is changing. And because of spread option football, because of teams trying to level the playing field talent-wise by running some of the wacky garbage that colleges run, that you've got more quarterbacks where you talk about how athletic they are. Yet those are the guys who do get hurt. Those are the guys, if you do have a guy who's riding through the mesh point every time, I don't want to hear how fast a quarterback is because you talk about his speed, I'm going to be talking about injured reserve at some point. So, like you say, ideally you want a guy who can stand there back in the pocket, nobody can touch him, and he can throw the ball all day. Where are those guys?
They're just not being produced anymore because you're a good athlete now. Because of the system that they play, you want to put him at quarterback. And, you know, listen, we in the NFL, we have to take, the league has to accept what college football is producing, the athlete that they are producing, because unlike basketball, we don't have a D league. Guys can't just leave high school and go straight to the NFL. They can't go over to China or Europe and learn how to play pro ball. It's kind of fixed to where you have to go to college for 3 years and then go to the league, because the league don't provide you anywhere else to grow.
So, Marshall, and I ask you this out of respect and how to steer the conversation, not to suggest in one way or the other what you should be doing. Have you watched a lot of tape of a lot of these guys, or are you more an information gatherer talking to other scouts and other draft experts as far as preparing for this draft?
A little bit of both. Maybe, and the third thing would be I rely on our guys who do college football. Daniel Jeremiah, Charles Davis, Mike Mayock. I'm always picking their brains about guys just to get information, because, you know, that's what they do.
Right.
I do pro ball, but I do follow up on, and I catch some college games, and I'll watch a kid, and let's say I see a kid have a great game, I'll try to get that game and watch that film just to see what kind of attributes he has. Mm-hmm. If it was just one of those games, oh boy, that was just a great, that was a game that was, that offensive line dominated, or is it a special back?
Right, and that's the reason I asked the question. We obviously want to talk about a lot more than running backs, but at least one more question on that front. With a healthy knee, we all know Todd Gurley is probably the best prospect. I, for one, love Tevin Coleman, and I see on other lists him dropping to maybe the fourth or fifth back. Could consider him, depending on where I'm at in the draft, even ahead of Gurley with a clean physical. And then you've, of course, got Melvin Gordon, you've got J.I., you've got Amir Abdullah, everybody knows the names. Which of the backs are you the most impressed with?
I love Melvin Gordon. Mm-hmm. I believe that we know what we're getting from him. He's a guy that I'm a believer that he can carry the load. Mm-hmm. He has to build for it. The question is, you know, can a Wisconsin back bring it into the NFL and do what needs to happen? And that's what we want to see. We want to see if that's the case. We all know the question on Gurley with the knee. I have this issue with SEC running backs. I don't know what it is.
Trent Richardson is what it is.
I just have an issue with how they produce in the SEC, and then when they come to the league, how they produce, and if they can do it and sustain it long enough, because they get so beat up in that conference in college at a young age. Amir Abdullah is a guy that you know, he plays faster than he is. I was surprised at his 40 time, and then at his pro day, he brought his 40 time down. But I just expected to see a much faster back. But I have reservations about that and with myself, because I know a running back without a football is not as fast as a running back with the football. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure if you let him run the 40 with a football in his hand, that time would change.
Mm-hmm.
For the better.
Functional football speed is what we're talking about.
It is, and he has that. And Coleman, listen, Tevin Coleman put up numbers on a bad team in a good conference against good competition. So, and I think he's a three down player. He's a guy that can make it, that right now can go to the Indianapolis Colts and be a difference maker with the Frank Gore. He's that kind of back. He can really, really make a team better. He's the kind of back that a Sean Payton would love to have on his team, a guy that I believe is going to be a real asset, and it would be great for him to fall and go to a good team, say the Dallas Cowboys, and end up playing with some good players, so you can see how good he is.
And back to what you said before about keeping the quarterback safe and how all roads sort of lead back to that. I talked to coaches, scouts about running backs, and they always say, sure, yeah, great. You can turn on the film and you can watch him run and you can watch him catch passes. I'm going to see if he's going to get my quarterback killed. And especially a guy who has the speed to be a third down back, and sometimes maybe even in the middle rounds you find somebody who fits that role. That the ability to protect, the understanding of angles, just the willingness, just the desire to sacrifice, to stay in there and pick up one of these monsters that's coming off the edge, how much of it is innate, how much of it can actually be taught, how much of it is purely a function of physicality. But scouts are trying to figure all that out. We never talk about it, but that's often the limiting factor in the way teams look at some of these guys.
If a scout drafts a running back that's coming into today's league and expect him to be to have the abilities to pass block, then it's a bad. There's a bad scout. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, he's a bad scout. There's no such thing.
It doesn't exist.
You never see a running back run to the edge of the line and block an edge rusher.
But what
in
I'm
college.
Saying is at the combine, when they're actually looking at this, they're projecting: can he do it? Can he learn to do
and
it?
And I'm telling you,
can we get the guy in camp and have him do it?
And I'm telling you that the only thing that they can be evaluating is does he have the ability to know who to get? Because we have to teach him how to get him. Pass blocking is something you have to be taught once you get to the league, and it was like that when I came in, and it's worse now because that back. Now, in today's spread system, he's taking a play fake, and that's considered blocking if you run fast enough and make a guy run with you.
And moving laterally often rather than north and south.
He has no responsibility of